Blessed uprising, beautiful people. It's time to rise and shine. Whatever time it is and wherever you may be, rise in your power and shine your light. Welcome to the Fruits of Life, where we recognize that life is a blessing and we consciously direct our thoughts, energy, and action to produce good fruits. I am your host, Empress Omega Fruits, and I welcome you to today's episode. In today's episode, we're going to discuss pregnancy, the beautiful transitional rite of passage for women, as well as the cravings and symptoms that come along with it. I will also share with you my personal experiences giving birth in a hospital setting versus a home setting, and what natural birth really is to me. Before we get into that, let us sound the drum. I have a special gift today. I have two affirmations related to our topic. The first one comes from the Bamiliki. This is a people native to West and Northwestern region of Cameroon. And the saying goes, "You are not born a leader, you become one." Let me repeat that. You are not born a leader, you become one. I selected this particular affirmation today because I find that it is very vital when a woman is pregnant to really have all the energies, all the vibrations, all the people around her personal experience during this 9-month period of time to cultivate beauty within the womb, to cultivate love, to cultivate the kind of nurturing environment that you would like for your newborn. So the becoming of the leader starts in the womb, actually. Not just because a person is born, are they born a leader, but what goes into the experience, what goes into the womb, and of course, what goes into the child as the child grows after birth, and as the child grows through their personal transitions, as life serves them lessons and hardships and triumphs and wisdom, that these experiences groom an individual into a leader. And I find this is such a powerful word sound here, because at this current time, we are cultivating leaders and we can make mistakes. That's okay. We continue to check ourselves, we continue to refine ourselves, and we continue to surround ourselves with the positive experiences, the reinforcements, the skills, the tools needed to develop this person, this character, this leader. Wonderful quote. Let me know what you think about that. And the next one is from Somali. It says, "These youth taught their mother to birth." So simple. Check it out again. "These youth taught their mother to birth." Reason why I selected this particular proverb, I find, because in reflection and retrospect, I find that becoming a mother has really groomed me into a woman. I have learned so much in terms of what it is to be aware of oneself, what it is to make very conscious decisions, not only for yourself, but for those that are around you, those that you affect, those that you influence. My children taught me to birth, and not only to bring forward life physically, right, but also mentally, how to birth the greatness out of those that were born from me, those that are surrounded by me, around me, those that surround me. How do I create greatness I am absolutely and totally inspired by those around me. I'm totally and absolutely inspired by my children. They help me dig deeper into myself so that I may be a great reflection for them to mirror, for them to bounce ideas off of, for them to look up to, for them to be strengthened by. And at any given point that they need that foundation and the reinforcement and the encouragement, they can come to me. Right? And those that I have surrounded them with, because it really does take a village. And we're going to get into that in another episode. But for today, my children have taught me to birth. And you'll find in this episode, we're going to talk about how my birthing experiences have been. And then I would love to hear from you, right? I would love to hear from you and your personal experiences and your birth. And what do you think about these affirmations? Pick one, speak on both of them, whichever one resonates with you. I would love to hear your thoughts. And then we're going to move on into community news. So I have spoke about the STEP program in our previous episode, and STEP represents or stands for Striving Together Equals Progress. This is a New Jersey-based initiative and organization. It is a Black male rites of passage program that has been in existence for decades. The main brother that runs the program, Brother Kenyatta, has been doing this work for a good 30 years in New Jersey, and now in Newark. I think it has been man, he's going to have to correct me because I know I'm going to cite the wrong number. It's something between 15 to 18 years, if I'm not mistaken, in this area. Now, this program meets once a week. They're currently working on establishing, or they have a building fund going on right now so that they can rehab one of these dilapidated buildings in Newark, New Jersey, so that they can have one main location to work from. This program is amazing. It's powerful. It gives our young men the tools, the resources, the positive role models needed to be able to also discuss current events, to be able to discuss spirituality, history, culture, nutrition. They also incorporate African drumming within the curriculum. They incorporate self-defense. They incorporate what it is to respect the queen, what it is to be that male in your family. What is your responsibility as a young man coming up in the community when all odds are against you, when there are statistics against you, when there's police brutality out there on high, you know, when your life is always in a state of threat, of emergency, of danger? How do you maintain your strength through all of these challenges? How do you maintain your ambition, your vision? How do you stay strong? You know, this program is such a powerful program. You can find them at Striving. What is it? Their website is steptothefuture.org. Steptothefuture.org. You can go ahead and show your support, show your love, give a donation, promote what they're doing, because they are really doing some wonderful and beautiful things. I've had my children in this program for quite some time, and I'm really excited for the work that they're doing, because it even if your children have their father in their lives, even if they have males in their lives, young, if they have men in their lives, this program helps reinforce what is happening, what you instill in your children in terms of values, in terms of strength and confidence. Highly recommended. Step to the Future. Striving Together Equals Progress. It really takes a village, let me tell you. You could definitely find them on Facebook. You could find them on Instagram. You could find them online. And again, I highly, 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 highly recommend this program. By the time of the posting of this podcast, I would have announced that I am currently with child. Yes, indeed. I am 17 weeks into my pregnancy. This is my third, and it's been 10 years. So I have a 14-year-old, a 10-year-old, and now I'm cultivating life in this beautiful vessel, and I am very thankful. Excuse me. Technically, my age at this point suggests that my pregnancy is high risk and that it is a so-called geriatric pregnancy. I am 39 years of age. I am 100% plant-based. I do incorporate some raw dishes. And this, of my three pregnancies, I have had two that have been completely plant-based. My first pregnancy with my 14-year-old, I was a pescatarian, plant-based plus pescatarian. I mean, at that point, I wasn't consuming any dairy, any cheese, you know, any eggs, anything like that. But I was eating certain types of fish, like red snapper and whiting. After some years, I removed fish from my lifestyle completely. So at this juncture in my life, at this juncture in my life, I basically am 100% plant-based, as mentioned. I do incorporate some raw dishes, and I want to spend a little time in speaking about this journey currently, as well as my previous pregnancies. I have had the experience of birthing in a hospital setting, and I have had the experience and the blessing of bringing forward life in a home setting. And now I'm putting the pieces in place regarding how this particular birth is going to go. So let's speak a little bit about my current pregnancy. I tend to carry well, so I do not experience a lot of I do not experience a lot of symptoms in the first trimester in terms of nausea, and I'm very thankful for that. The most of what I do experience is related to fatigue. You know, just these transitions in my body basically are drawing a lot of energy, and women that carry or anyone who's done the research definitely understands that this is a time that the body is going through tremendous changes. So the first trimester, my body was just like tired. I just wanted to sleep. I was very hungry. I wanted to eat like everything. But I wasn't doing a great job in terms of providing a variety on my plate. And that spilled over into my second trimester. So, for example, I have been eating a lot of vegan junk food. You know, like pizza, you know, with some daya cheese, give me some pasta. Give me, you know, some, what else have we had? French fries, Lord, you know, give me some French fries, and some, you know, veggie burgers from time to time. But even that wasn't even a big go-to. For the most part, I've eaten a lot of vegan pizza, and I'm so thankful that Blaze Pizza exists, because Blaze Pizza has vegan cheese. And although I usually would load up a pizza with, you know, peppers and squash, spinach, onions, mushrooms, and all that good stuff, lately I basically have been having a double crust pizza at Blaze with some extra vegan cheese. And sometimes I'll add a drizzle of barbecue sauce on top of that. It's crazy. But that's just been my reality at this time. And so I wonder, now that I'm in my second trimester, I'm getting a lot more energy, and I still want to rest because, you know, there's a lot happening within this universe of mine, this womb universe. I still need that rest, and thankfully I'm able to get it in this stage. I'm noticing, and you can tell in my voice, that I have some congestion. So I've just been, you know, drinking more tea, and lately my taste buds have been transitioning and desiring more raw foods. And later on, I'm going to give you some beautiful, prego mind just really slipped away from me. So later on, I'm going to get into this dish that I made, a raw dish that really opened up my whole appetite. So yeah, right now, raw dishes are helpful. And I'm slowly incorporating, you know, more greens, because the cooked greens, I just wanted nothing of it, really. And I'll get into that a little bit more later on. So right now I'm feeling good. I have been doing yoga all along. I have not stopped my practice at all, and thankfully I haven't had a need to. I have consistently been teaching. I have been consistently breathing and meditating and guiding folks within the same. And other opportunities have opened up for me so that I may be able to share these tools with the larger community. And now I would like to go into a little more information about and experience about my first two pregnancies. With Elijah Tafari, he's now 14 and a freshman. You heard him, if you listen to the second episode, Who Am I? You heard his voice and his energy. I carried him till 41 weeks. As I mentioned, I was pescatarian in that time. And I was seeing an OB who wind up scheduling my pregnancy to be induced. Now, prior to that, an ultrasound was requested, just to check how the baby's doing, the levels of the amniotic fluids, and all was good. Unfortunately, in that time, I didn't have the insight and information and wisdom needed to opt out of being induced. And so, I was pregnant at 25, and Elijah was born in the hospital through an induced process. Now, although it was induced, I refused to receive an epidural, any type of pain medication. So if anybody knows about Pitocin really advances one's contractions, and in such a way that it makes it even more difficult to expect them. You know, because they tend to be rather erratic and intense. And so I went through that process. So we went one morning, we had a 9 o'clock appointment, waited about an hour, received an injection, and then was brought into my room. And in this room, some hours later, I began to experience the pains of labor. My mother was present, my son's father was present, the OB was present as well. And the most unfortunate part about the whole experience is that there were plenty other medical students also present throughout the duration of my labor. And that was the worst experience ever, because there were all different kind of people, male and female, coming in and out of the room in groups, basically observing me. I felt like a guinea pig, honestly. I felt like I was being experimented on, even though they were observing and taking notes. It was the worst. I felt so violated. And like my privacy was absolutely not respected. I did speak to my OB initially explaining that I did want a private room, and I had a large room, but I had it to myself aside from all of these staff members that and students that just, it was like Grand Central, I tell you, the way that people were coming in and out and observing, and it really made me feel very uncomfortable. In that moment, though, I wasn't in the space to refute. I wasn't in the space to deny these people access. And so, as my labor progressed, eventually they stopped coming in, and the intensity of the contractions made it very difficult for me, and my inexperience, of course, made it very difficult for me to brace myself and breathe through the pain. And so there were some times where I should not have bared down or pushed, and I had. Unfortunately, now watch yourselves, because I'm about to get just a little bit graphic, y'all. Unfortunately, because of that reality, I did swell, and that was not good, to say the least. So we had these nurses that were working in that time, and the one that was working with me throughout most of my labor was an African woman. Unfortunately, she was not helpful. And this was very disappointing, because once she noticed that I was swelling, her reactions were so negative. It was like, oh my God, you know, and I'm like, lady, how is that helping me? It made me more tense. It made me more concerned, more worried, because I couldn't really see what was happening down there. I just knew what I was feeling and going through within that stage. Thankfully, her shift ended, new people came in, and the sister that came in after her, I am so thankful for her, because she was like, all right, baby girl, we're going to have this baby. And sure enough, she came with like so much strength and experience and wisdom that just by her nature, I felt the confidence of bringing forward the child. She just gave me the support that I needed within that time. Mind you, I was not given the benefit of walking around. You know, I had this fetal monitor attached to me. You know, I had this drip. I was just laid out, as hospitals usually, you know, encourage women to birth. Most hospitals. Now, there are some transitions where we have birth centers, we have water births, we have birthing stools and yoga balls and different things that can be incorporated, aromatherapy, doulas. Thankfully, now in this time, these supports are available to pregnant moms and laboring moms. But although the maternity ward was nice at Beth Israel Hospital in Newark, New Jersey, these other elements were not available. Anyhow, time progressed. It was about 7:45 when I finally gave birth. And thankfully, when my son was born, he was placed upon my chest. And then he was cleaned up. You know, the umbilical cord was cut. He was cleaned up and returned to me again. And we attempted, you know, the nursing. I was then and very happy, although it was very traumatic and very difficult. I was still smiling, and the staff, I remember someone saying, look at her, she's still smiling after that. So I remember I must have had very dynamic energy in the midst of all the madness to have heard for someone to say that, and for me to recall that even till this day. I was moved to a private room, and it was just great in that way, because I really was with, my son was with me most of the time. Unfortunately, he was removed a couple of times. I understand that they had circumcised him. They had given him vitamin K, but other than that, no vaccinations were given to him. Fast forward. I nursed him for about a good year. After about 8 months of nursing him, I felt that I wasn't really producing that much milk. And again, that could have been inexperience. I was also pumping because I was going to work in the morning hours. So he would have a combination of, you know, the breast milk directly from the breast and also breast milk from the bottle. Around 4 months, we started incorporating some baby cereals and things like that. By 1 year, the breastfeeding basically faded out. Okay. Moving forward with my second son, I was surrounded with different support systems, and the idea of a home birth was presented to me. And so thankfully, I was given the support and the information. You know, the sisters that were around me were able to give me information. Well, one sister in particular, two sisters in particular, helped me just understand the possibility. The one of those sisters, Sister Heteru, was dynamic and so helpful in the birthing of my baby. She acted as my doula and ultimately really was like my midwife in the time of labor and delivery. I did have a midwife, which was also great. She was based in Brooklyn. I would see her in her own home in Brooklyn throughout the pregnancy, and later on, closer to my due date, she came to my home. On the day that I gave birth, Hannibal and I, actually, wait, before I even say that, the weekend before I gave birth, I felt like my water broke. It wasn't a gush of water. It was a gradual leaking. And so I became very concerned about this process. What was happening to me? I spoke to my midwife. I had to actually wear a sanitary napkin because it was ongoing. I expressed my concern, and when the midwife came to see me on a Wednesday, she didn't notice any evidence of fluid. And in retrospect, I'm like, well, I might have, you know, leaked completely. anyhow, she let me know that I was still, you know, in a safe space. And the baby was still good, and, you know, it was just wait for, you know, my contractions to set in and labor to begin and, you know, the baby to be born. She left. Elijah and I were at the park this day. We walked to the park, which was a couple blocks away. We hung out there. We played. You know, he moved around. I moved around. You know, I'm those kinds of moms that I don't take my children to the park and sit on a bench. I go and I move and I slide. Of course, my level of activity was much less that day, but I was still moving around. I would feel certain contractions. But they weren't strong. They just, you know, I had to stop a moment and then I was able to keep on going. And I mostly felt it when it was time to go home. So as we're walking, I remember I had to pause a moment, gather myself, and then we were able to keep moving. Elijah and I reached home. We lived on a third floor and I started making some food. I remember I was preparing a falafel that day. And so I'm there, you know, doing what I do. He was in the living room, and all of a sudden, I had this pain shoot straight into my abdomen, and it was so terrible, so harsh that it dropped me down to my knees. Ultimately, I was in active labor. So I didn't realize that I was experiencing my labor pains prior. And you know, when I realized I was in labor, it was active labor. So my 4-year-old son, Elijah, was the only one present. He was my first doula. I was instructing him on what to get for me, where to get it from, what to do with the chunks pads. I was instructing him to run the water for me. And he really was awesome. He was the best first doula. He really followed all my instructions. Although he had a couple of questions along the way, I did my best in answering them in between my breathing, and he was so helpful. I reached out to the midwife who was in Manhattan at that time. She informed me that it would take her some time to get back to Jersey, but she was going to head out as soon as possible. I reached out to my son's father, and I reached out to Sister Heteru, let her know what was happening. Honestly, I don't remember who came first. If it was my son's father or if it was Heteru, my doula, who arrived first. And I tell you, if I didn't express it before, the sister was she was a powerhouse. So helpful. I had ideas of having incense burning. I said, scratch that. I didn't want to smell anything strong, but some music was playing in the background. I was still half dressed, and when she got there, she was like, look, you got too much clothes on, get comfortable. And she helped me and swayed with me and, you know, just helped me go through it. She and my son's father stepped out of the room, and I was still, you know, there squatting on the side of the bed, kind of rocking as well. Prior to their arrival, I was moving from the bathtub to the bed. I remember being on the bed on hands and knees, just rocking back and forth, you know, swaying from side to side, moving my hips and just moving with my breath, right? And so when Sister Heteru was there, she was helping me in a standing position to sway and to rock and to move. She and my son's father stepped out of the room. I heard drumming in the background. And then all of a sudden, you know, I kind of reached down and I was like, he's crowning. And they were like, I just checked you, you know. I'm like, yo, he is crowning. And sure enough, she came in and he truly was crowning. My son's father came in and gently, I don't remember even making noise, you know. I just remember it being like quiet and it being smooth, right? And, you know, my son's father and Sister Heteru reached for my son when he was born, and I was there on the side of the bed. So he was born in a squatting position. I was in a squatting position when he was born, and then I just, you know, sat right there. You know, they had towels there and everything for me, and he was just placed on me, and it was just so quiet. He was quiet, I was quiet. And it was just like, I recall it as he being a silent storm. Like, he was born as a silent storm. It was just so beautiful. It was just so freeing and empowering to be able to do what women do, what all the women before me, throughout all generations, throughout all time and space, across all continents, from the beginning of time. It was so beautiful to be empowered with the ability to bring forward life. Like, let that settle in. We are so empowered, and sometimes we forget it. In a hospital setting, sometimes we relinquish this power, right? And in the biggest difference, in my opinion, between the hospital births and home births is that you reclaim this power. You redeem this power. And at the end of the process, you come out victorious. You know, so if a woman is healthy, if her pregnancy is healthy, I strongly encourage the research to take place. You know, I strongly encourage you out there, mamas, to think of the possibility of having the most natural birth as possible, especially women of color, women in the Spanish-speaking population, Black women. Like, I'm really letting you know, you can do it. You can do it. You are powerful beyond measure. And you're the closest thing to God. Imagine this
creation is developing and being cultivated within your dynamic and beautiful vessel. How magical and how majestic is this power, this reality? So when we get in tune, when we get our mind and our heart, our spirit and our body in alignment with our ability to cultivate life and bring forward life in the most natural, non-intrusive manner, with the support systems needed for you specifically, when you are able to determine what it is that you need to make sure your birth is exactly as you envision it, exactly as you establish in your intentions, you and your king, you and your husband are able to do it. And I did. So right now, me and my geriatric at-risk pregnancy, because I'm 39 years old, I am still considering a natural birth. And at this point, honestly, I'm looking into the possibility of an unassisted water birth. How about that? Yeah, so I'm still working through the details. I have gone to prenatal visits so far into my pregnancy, and everything is good to go. I have no issues. So I'm having a healthy pregnancy. I have just not found the midwife I would like to work with. The midwife that accepts my insurance, the midwife with whom I can connect. And so that's what led me to the possibility of an unassisted birth. Yeah. So, I mean, if you have any ideas, any suggestions, any books, any references, any resources, feel free to drop me a line. You know, you can send me an email. Let me know about your birth story. fruitsoflifeyoga@gmail.com. Drop me a line. If you're listening to this on Anchor, you know, you can leave a message. And if you have any questions, ask me and I will respond. All right. And hold on, because I still have some more for you, some nice treats in store for this particular segment. This episode, we're going to go in a little more about symptoms and cravings and food, and also a nice meditation for your mamas out there. All right. So that's been my experience so far. Talk to me. Let me know what your experience is. Let me know how and if this podcast, this episode has helped you. Let me know if it's inspired you. Let me know what you're thinking. All right. And let's bond, let's build, and let's cultivate. All right. Talk to you soon.
Throughout my pregnancy, this being my third, I'm cultivating this young king in the womb. Very excited. I really don't suffer too many nausea and, you know, distress during the first trimester. I just had one instance around 10 weeks, between the 10 and 11 week period, where I had excessive gas. It was such a sharp pain in my lower abdomen. Have any of you experienced the same during your pregnancy? It was such a sharp pain. I started becoming concerned of a miscarriage, and every time I went to the bathroom, I was checking for any spotting. And thankfully, I didn't see anything, because I was really jacked up, you know, to tears. That was the only day I actually vomited. Otherwise, basic symptoms I've experienced have been fatigue. I just want to sleep. And now, you know, in the second trimester, I am regaining that energy. Another main symptom, I feel it's a symptom, because I cook and I prepare meals for people. My main symptom that is most stressful is not really being interested in eating my own food. My appetite for my own food is so downhill, thumbs down, it makes no sense. I want someone else to cook for me. I want somebody else's food. I want like vegan junk food. Give me some vegan glazed pizza any day. Give me some French fries and ketchup, you know, give me a peanut punch, I'll be good. I've been slowly moving out of that. I haven't wanted to eat my greens. I don't want quinoa. It's terrible. So in my gradual transition out of that phase, I started making some quinoa porridge and, you know, prayerfully that will help me get the nutrients from the actual grain. I have been making some soft tacos with some black beans and onions, peppers, greens, you know, tomatoes, just really loading it up nicely and balancing out my meals in that way. And today I am so excited. So I'm at 17 weeks now. Today's the first day of 17 weeks. And excuse me, since yesterday I've been feeling congested. That's the other thing. I feel like my sensitivities to allergy type of symptoms is what's been revealing. So I first thought that I became allergic to cat dander. That went away, and that was something that I was feeling when my king and I first moved in together. You know, we had a kitten. My Yuthman and I have a kitten. I bought it for Hannibal's Earthlight, his birthday this 10th year. And my king has an older cat that's about 13 years old. And so when we moved in together, I started feeling these allergy symptoms, congested, coughing, itchy nose, itchy eyes, my whole face like scrunched up with discomfort. And that is also about 2 weeks before I felt that discomfort and that pain that wound up being severe gas. And now, just like yesterday, I started feeling this congestion again. So it could be the change in the weather. It can just be, you know, how much nutrients and vitamins and minerals that this baby is just taking from me. And I just need to strengthen up my immune system because I've been eating so poorly. But today, today, like right now, in this very moment, I made... Well, I'm about to eat because I made it already. I'm just, this food is staring at me. I had this inclination to go and get something to eat. I wanted to go get like a chia pudding bowl, you know, with the works of berries and what have you on it. And I was like, man, I could just go home and make that myself. I really need food. The only thing I had today before stepping out this morning was green juice. You know, with celery and green apple, kale, lemon, cucumber. And so I'm so ready to eat. Even now, I'm just pausing because I just had a bite and I'm like, oh, this is so good. I got to talk about it. Right? In the emotion, in the feeling, in the moment. So what I prepared, I prepared some zucchini noodles. Right? Spiralized some noodles and I finely shredded some red cabbage or purple cabbage, right? With some nicely sliced purple onion, with some chopped up kale, everything raw so far, right? And some red peppers. And then I was like, well, I want to make like a walnut meat, you know, veet. And first it was going to be like a walnut taco veet, and then I was like, nah, I wound up making a walnut tuna veet. So Lord, the only thing cooked on my plate is actually chickpeas, because the walnut tuna veet called for chickpeas, like a hummus, right? So I just got my processor out and I processed my walnuts. I processed the chickpeas with some lemon. You know, I made some tahini yesterday because we ate some falafel with our meal last night. Excuse me. You know, chopped up some celery, threw in some cayenne, some Himalayan pink sea salt, some what else did we? Oh, some nori and dulse, actually. A little bit of vegan mayo, some vegenaise, and just mixed it up with the hummus to make the walnut tuna wheat. Sliced up some avocado on the side of that. So my bowl, and it's in the picture for this podcast, my bowl is so beautiful. It is just so beautiful. And the tastes are just awesome. Oh, it has the tuna wheat also has nutritional yeast in there. And I just use my regular house dressing that usually has some turmeric in there, has some cayenne in there, apple cider vinegar, olive oil. The chickpeas, the additional chickpeas that I added to the actual salad, had some turmeric as well, some cayenne, cumin, olive oil, a little bit of garlic powder. And the dish is just so beautiful and so tasty. Like, this is what I needed. This is what I needed. This is so much of what I needed. I am so thankful that I was inspired to just come into the kitchen and do the work. You know, come dig into my brilliant mind that has produced so many dishes for so many people. And even for my family that really enjoys my food. My king in particular loves my food so much that he does not want to go out to eat. It's a little, you know, annoying sometimes because I want to go out to eat, especially right now. But, you know, they say my kitchen is their favorite restaurant. And so here we are, Fruits of Life Kitchen with the raw sip today. I'm so excited. And then for later, I already have my chia sitting in some almond milk with some cinnamon and ginger. I'm going to slice up some mango. Oh my goodness. You know, put some goji berries and coconut on top of that. It is on. It is so on. I am so excited. So I'm just going to leave it there and let you know that the stages that we go through in pregnancy will pass. Those symptoms will pass. Those cravings will pass. So just be encouraged and make sure that you're eating nutritionally well-balanced meals. Eat the rainbow because I'm about to eat this rainbow. I'm so excited, y'all. All right. So we're going to cut in this moment, and then we're going to, you know, follow up with a few more inspiration, maybe some breath work, a nice meditation for the mothers carrying in this time. The mamas carrying, have a sweet meditation for you in a moment. Alright, so I hope you really enjoyed this episode. I gave you an opportunity to get to know me a little bit more, so I hope that was helpful to you all. And I hope you enjoyed listening to my story. I know you all have stories to tell as well about your personal experiences. And so feel free to reach out to me if you haven't done so already. Hit that subscribe button, give a rating and a review to help the station grow and reach many more folks. And you can find me across all social media platforms, particularly Instagram and Facebook at Fruits of Life Yoga. I look forward to speaking to you once again. Until such time, breathe deeply, be in your breath. Enjoy the breath, enjoy the moment, and be free, mind, body, and spirit. Peace.